Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
So as I mentioned, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family today, and the gospel we read is the finding in the temple, right? And those of you that are familiar with the rosary know that the finding in the temple is one of the joyful mysteries of the rosary. So we meditate on this scene as a part of our praying. You know, when one prays the rosary, it's not so much about saying the words over and over again. It is about entering into the mystery of that decade. And we're gonna dive into this gospel a little deeper than just the surface, okay? Not in painful detail, but a little detail that is more than what's right on top. And so as we go through this kind of meditation on the finding in the temple. So each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for Passover. So they were observant Jews. There were three times a year that the Jewish people were required to go to the temple in Jerusalem. And the temple in Jerusalem for Mary and Joseph and Jesus was not around the corner. It was like 70 miles away. And there was no Uber, you know. They had to walk. And so they walked with all their friends and neighbors from Nazareth. Three times a year, they would go to observe the holy days in Jerusalem. And so we know that. And so you can imagine that this is not the first time they've traveled with this gang of people from Nazareth. They have gone every year, three times a year, a 2 or 3 day walk there, a 2 or 3 day walk back. And so that kind of sets the scene a little bit more. So they go. And how old is Jesus on this particular year? He's 12 years old. And he's 12 years old. And Luke tells us he's 12 years old. And then Luke tells us a little later that he went back to Nazareth with them and grew in wisdom and was obedient to his parents. And almost those exact words are said about another character in the Old Testament. Luke is essentially quoting the Old Testament story about the prophet and priest Samuel. And Samuel is who we heard about in the first reading today. Hannah's name, by the way, means grace. Like God's grace. So we have children named Hannah and children named Grace. It's the same name. One's an English word and one's a Hebrew word, but the same idea. But nonetheless, so Hannah has prayed for a child, and God heard her prayer, and she miraculously conceives. We've heard this story before, haven't we? Okay? And so she prays, and she miraculously conceives. And she names her child Samuel. And you know what Samuel means? God has heard me, okay? Basically, God heard me. And so Hannah, and this is related to Jesus because it was the understanding of the Jewish people that Samuel began his prophetic work when he was 12 years old, okay? And so Luke is pointing out this fact that he's 12 years old to tie Jesus to Samuel, and then he ties him to Samuel again later in the gospel. So, Jesus is 12. We all can imagine in our mind's eye what a 12-year-old is like. After they finished the days of the Passover, it was time to go home. And is this the first time they've traveled with this group of people from Nazareth? No, every year, three times a year, there and back, several days. And so they figure Jesus is just with the family, right? But they travel for one day, and they figure out somebody's missing. And you parents, especially parents, I think even I don't have any children, I can just imagine the anxiety that would wash over Joseph and Mary. And then you think about the anxiety that would wash over Joseph and Mary. And then we remember that Herod had issued a decree to kill all of the children in Bethlehem just trying to get to Jesus. Remember that? When Herod was threatened by the newborn king of the Jews that he had heard of. And so you can just take for a moment. And I think this is one of the joyful mysteries of the rosary, right? And I think, no, this is one of the anxious mysteries. As we get into the story. And Jesus stayed back. And we see Jesus, in one sense, detaching himself from the primacy of Mary and Joseph. And he says to them, why were you looking for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? And there's an element, there is this Jesus coming into his own. And then the story, as the story unfolds, the gospel that you heard just a moment ago, I remind you, well, that Jesus was sitting with the elders, the teachers, the doctors, there in the temple. And back in those days, 2,000 years ago, you didn't take your ACT and sign up for college and hope you get a scholarship. That's not the way it worked, okay? They didn't have colleges like we have now. What they would do is a person would find a mentor and they would become a disciple of that mentor. And they would sit at that person's feet and learn from them. And maybe they would pay them sometimes to allow them to be their disciple. And these teachers would meet like in a place like the temple, and they would have their disciples with them, and they would teach them. And it's like Jesus is going there to, like, let's see who the good teachers are. And he begins to ask them questions. And so that's the scene. And what does it say? That Jesus is asking them questions, and then they're amazed at his answers. And it is as if this 12-year-old boy is beginning to school the teachers of Israel. And then the story continues to unfold. When his parents saw him, they said, son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety. Now, even though it's Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, and we think it's the perfect family, no problems in this family, how could there ever be any problems in this family? We see right there. You can just imagine that moment and the pain of Joseph and Mary. And then Jesus, I don't know how conflicted Jesus was about this, but clearly he's like, no, this is my Father's house. But then the next line almost is that he went back to Nazareth and was obedient to them. The model of a child to honor his father and his mother. And so Jesus is obedient to Mary and Joseph, even though he is the God-man. And the other point I just want to point out, or the other thing about this gospel I want to hold before you, is this fact that Mary did not completely understand what was happening. But they did not understand what he said to them. And then it continues, his mother kept all these things in her heart. And when we say in her heart, we mean she mulled them over. She thought about them. She ruminated on them. She kept them in her mind and heart and thoughts. And you know what? When we pray the rosary, you know what we're supposed to be doing? That exact thing is thinking about these scenes, these mysteries of the gospel in the life of our Lord. And so we had today the joyful mystery of the finding of the child in the temple, and a snapshot of the Holy Family. And as holy as that family was, it wasn't without its challenges. And trust me, we could dive deeper into that question, but moving on to the next part of the homily here, the Holy Family. Who here wants a Holy Family? You know, and you should all raise your hands, okay? Even though it might not be, you're not thinking to yourself, my New Year's resolution is I want a holy family. You're thinking to yourself, my New Year's resolution is I want to lose weight, I want to exercise, I want to save money, I want to get that project I've been working on done. But I'm going to ask you to think about this for a minute. I'm going to respectfully ask you to please consider this as one of your resolutions. That I want to grow in holiness in 2019. Now you might not look in the mirror and think to yourself, you know, what is my goal? What do I want to be? I want to be holy. But I want you to think about that. And when you think about what it means to be holy, I want you to think that this is what holiness is. Holiness is to have a well-ordered life. Holiness is to have proper priorities, to have first things first and second things second and third things third in life. Holiness is to know right from wrong. Is that what you think of when you think holiness is not sitting in the corner someplace on your knee, beating yourself with the discipline. That's not holiness. Holiness is God dwelling in you. And you know, you want a holy family. You know what holy families are made of? Holy individuals. You've all heard the expression, here we live on a bay. Here we live in this beautiful little town. A rising tide lifts what? All the boats. A rising tide lifts all the boats. So if we have one member of the family growing in order and discipline and wisdom and understanding, isn't that good for the whole family? It's good for the whole family. So today, think about your family. Pray for a holy family. And you know, family is, first of all, family is the people we're related to, our blood relatives. And then we have our family that grows a little bit by legal bonds and the covenant of our families. And then we have the family that is our faith community. We're all brothers and sisters here in Christ. Right? Our Father. I remind you that you are children of God. And so we have this family of faith. And then we have the real truth of the human family, of being connected to every human being, and that we are called to have holy families. And you know something? A holy family is a joy to be around. A holy family brings peace to the people that come into the orbit of that family. So we want a holy family here in this church. I want you to have a holy family in the domestic church of your home. And I want you to think about how you're going to grow in holiness in 2019. What can you do to grow in holiness? And some of you, the real regulars here, have heard me say this over and over, and I'm not going to quit saying it. You're going to get tired of me saying it, but I'm not going to quit saying it. I'm going to keep saying it over and over again. The path to holiness, it doesn't change. It's the same, and it's not easy, okay? The path to holiness is prayer and fasting and giving. Have you ever heard that before? The path to holiness is to pray daily. And maybe you could pray the rosary daily. Say, oh, Father Mike, you're crazy, you know? That's too much, and it's not too much, I promise you. To meditate on the mysteries of the life of Christ, to spend a little time praying. I'll tell you a true story about a friend of mine who had another friend whose marriage was in real, real trouble. And so they were talking about this, how it was on the brink. And there was a broken heart, and there was disappointment, and there was disillusionment, and there was all the disappointment of a marriage that's fallen apart. And she said, why don't you pray the rosary for your husband every day? Every day. And the story goes she did. And there was healing. You know, you can only affect one person's life, right? and that's your own. But changing your own life can help with the people around you, can it? You grow in holiness, and your family is going to grow in holiness. So she did, and she prayed the rosary every day, and it healed her marriage. And then there's fasting. What is fasting? Fasting is to deliberately give up something just for God, to sacrifice some food or drink just for God, to believe that it works, to let God transform you. And so we pray, we fast, and we give. Giving. Have you ever heard this before? In giving, you receive. Do you believe that? You want to receive from God, what do you have to do? You have to give. I mean, it is that simple. And so, to be a giver, and you empty yourself and God will fill you, but that takes faith. And so today, my brothers and sisters, we meditate on the Holy Family, one of the mysteries of the rosary. I encourage you to pray daily, and maybe you want to pray the rosary every day. I encourage you to make fasting a regular part of your spiritual life, and I remind you that if you are not a giver, you will not receive. So, it is in giving that we receive, and our Lord Jesus himself said it is more blessed to give than to receive. So what do you want for your new year? You want to be holy, right? You want a holy family. And holy families are made of what? Holy individuals. And how many people's lives can you really affect? Just your own, okay? Just your own. So let us pray for holiness in 2019.